Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The first thing that I think comes to mind is that there might be a general perception that we need to be within the 90s for it to be a dangerous heat. That's really not the right impression. Once we start approaching weather, the hot weather we're going to have over the next few days, I think 80 degrees with 80% humidity and above, once we're about 82 degrees with that higher humidity, it's going to spike our temperatures up into the mid-90s. When we talk about how to reference that on a heat index, the heat index is going to be a good marker for that, but we're going to go from a uncomfortable heat to a dangerous heat when our heat index approaches probably the mid-90s or so. So there are some general concerns that we have to have for special populations we can talk about. Special populations I'm talking about are the elderly, are going to be children, and particularly people with respiratory diseases, things of emphysema and COPD, in which being part of a cooler condition is going to certainly aid with that respiratory condition. Some of the things that we also have to do prepare for ourselves is good old-fashioned water. There are sports drinks alike out there, and many sports drinks promote themselves as the extra hydration. I think the idea of just having water and hydration is going to be the first thing that we need to do. There's probably not a huge advantage to electrolytes when it just talks about repleting water itself for dehydration. Dehydration is going to be a big factor for many people within the community. And one of the things that becomes a problem, and certainly within the Buffalo Fire Department, but that for everybody with high heat index, is that we anticipate that when you sweat, we're going to evaporate that. Once we approach the mid-90s again, where it gets into dangerous conditions, it becomes a bit problematic for your body to actually have heat losses as evaporative cooling becomes less effective as the high heat index gets a little bit into the 90s or so. So again, pushing the water is going to be one thing. Some things that you want to do or possibly avoid. Just like we do with the cold weather with our wind chills, we want to try to avoid excessive amounts of outdoor time, particularly in the sun. If you have to be in the sun, keep yourself covered up, and certainly we want to take care of your skin to start with. But if you've got sweat across your brow, you need a bottle of water. And no matter what, there is no such thing as non-exothermic exercise for any degree. So if you're sweating at all, that means that you have to replete some hydration. You don't want to wait till you have symptoms. And speaking of those symptoms, if you develop any type of heat cramping, exhaustion, it's going to start with excessive sweating. You start to feel you're very fatigued. You're already into the point where you've passed those of some of the heat-related symptoms. If heat cramping starts after that, you really have to limit the amount of activities that you're going to do for the day. That includes any yard work. That includes outdoor playtime and such. Staying yourself in a cool place, if you just start with shade, you'll probably drop your temperatures down in the ambient heat by a few degrees there. But again, with our high humidity, it's going to be a bit more problematic to still stay outside. So if you can stay indoors, perhaps behind a fan would be a great thing. Air conditioning would be a little bit better. In particular, if you have any neighbors out there that you know are elderly, don't have access to those things, and you do, you may want to invite them into your cooling and pay particular attention to those, again, with respiratory diseases. And I can't stress enough that we want to really push the hydration. It's going to be a very effective tool that makes sure we're preventing any of these type of heat injuries. Thank you.
Good morning. We're going to be opening up community centers throughout the city where, as a matter of fact, they're all listed right here, where people can go to escape the heat. As Joe Bart just said, we really want to protect the residents of the city of Buffalo. So please reach out to your neighbors, your seniors, your children. Make sure that they can get into a cool area and that they're safe. That's our plan from the city's perspective. We'll have the centers open and come in, have a glass of water, bottle of water, and just sit and relax and cool out and then move on throughout your day. Okay.
Just with speaking for citywide pools and splash pads, they're open as per their regular schedule. The city already has pools open until 7 p.m. Splash pads also are open daily from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. If you'd like more information on where pools and splash pads are, that's available on the city's website. You can just search the word pools in the search box, and it'll bring you to our pools page with all that information. But the pools will be open for during this time as per our regular schedule. Thanks.
Questions for any of you? What about the weekend? Pools on pads open on Saturday and Sunday?
There are pools. The schedules are posted. There are pools that have down days on Saturday or Sunday. We are monitoring the weather to determine if we need to open any of those up differently than their current schedule. But right now, the pools will be open as per their posted regular schedule. Splash pads are open both Saturday and Sunday.
With some races going on in the city, is there any additional things to make sure that the runners stay hydrated?
It's going to be a universal message. It's hydration. And I think runners, particularly people that are they're in tune to the running in the community, that run a lot, are very familiar with the idea of hydration and what that takes. And honestly, it's a lot about preparation for exercise endurance. In particular, if they're going to be running long distances, hydration is going to become a huge component of that. The body systems don't tolerate when you have hydration losses. Some medical issues can develop. I think in general for those people that are going to be out trying to do any exercise, when we approach, again, these heat indexes that are going to be in the mid-90s, I think a word of caution probably has to be against the exercise that you might feel, I'm a well-conditioned athlete, I'm going to go outside, I'm going to run around, I'll probably be fine. And if you are, again, I think those conditioning is going to take certainly take into a factor that you need to keep yourself very well hydrated. And at least pause for caution before you do extended amount of exercise outside, just because you might be used to letting your heat out of your body. And again, once the heat index gets this high, the ability for evaporative cooling for your body to sweat and release that heat, that mechanism is really no longer effective.
So for the Subaru race tomorrow, will there be any additional medical hands at the race, just in case anything else occurs from this heat?
I would say that that's probably up to the organizers.
What about the Italian Festival?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And with any event of that size, it certainly is within the discipline, both with the fire department and our partners with AMR and the city of Buffalo in general, to make those preparations. And from an EMS perspective, once we hit an organizational size of 5,000 people or greater, preparations are made to have emergency medical services available on site. To be able to manage anything, so we're not taxing additionally to our 911 system. As far as cooling station things, the fire department does have available fans and misting fans. One of the problems that we're going to face within the fire department, even for our own operations, is that again with evaporation not being possible, adding misting fans at 95 degrees with humidity actually makes the problem worse. So if you're already wet and you're sweating and we just blow more moisture onto you, but it can't evaporate, we're not actually fixing the problem. So certainly having some large fans and availability to do that. But again, those general concerns for people that are going to visit downtown are going to be, again, for hydration and make sure you're going to get your house into a place of shade and avoid excessive amount of times in the heat.
Dr. Barker used to also talk about firefighters and this weekend again.
Absolutely. So there's certainly no question that that firefighting in the firefighter gear, when you enter into a burning building, that it's a hot condition. And no matter what, that could be the middle of January, and that's still taxing to the individual that's wearing the equipment and being in a hot condition in which they're going to sweat. It becomes a vital importance for us to make sure that our preparations exist. Certainly, again, for the hydration, make sure we're pushing the water here and not coffee. For our own members to keep their safety. But some of the additional preparations we've been able to make ahead of time are to, right behind us, we have our rehabilitation rig. The purpose of that, to send that to any alarm of fire in which we anticipate there might be fire conditions, is to allow a formal rehab to take place. Essentially what that is as firefighters exit and then down gear, maybe change their bottle of air. Certainly the first thing we'll do is put a bottle of water into their hand. But then to have them evaluated for signs and symptoms of heat-related injuries. So we'll push them through this. We've already talked with our dispatch side of it and with AMR as our ambulance service provider to be able to deploy extra resources at the scene to help evaluate our members and put them through the right steps to ensure that they're going to be safe. They're not going to be subject to further heat conditions. In addition to that, just using some extra staff to be able to help with some of the recovery efforts with fire and the overhaul methods. So that we're not overtaxing certain individuals.
Andy, just so we're clear,
We're monitoring the weather conditions to determine if there are any changes required to the pool schedule. But as of right now, we're operating off of our regular schedule. Friday, tomorrow, which is going to be the hottest day, all pools are open, all splash pads are open. The communities outside of the city extended their hours, but they extended them to 6 or 7. We're already open till 7 p.m. So as of right now, we're operating per our regular schedule. We'll be monitoring the situation if we need to do any changes over the weekend. Okay.
So right now, you don't feel Saturday is a qualifying situation?
We're taking a look to see if any changes are required to Saturday's schedule. Right now, we're open per our regular schedule.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.